I have the perfect recipe to say no. It's in three parts. The first time is say, I would like to say yes, even if it's true or not. Okay, because you don't have to justify yourself. I would like to say yes, but I make a promise to myself to realize my biggest dream. Actually, I'm working hard on it and I have to take care of me throughout this process. So you don't say why, you don't justify, and you say at the end, I wish you all the best, but I don't say no to you, I say no to your request.
Welcome to Voices of Leadership, my podcast that tells the stories of women who are redefining success and thriving on the edge of change. My guest today is Caroline Bergeron, an international painter under the pseudonym Arrow, a professional speaker, author, and former corporate executive. Caroline is the author of The Sum of My Encounters, a book that explores how our interactions shape who we are and who we can become. It's a collection of personal stories where Caroline reflects on the impact of personal encounters in her life, the evolution of her non-negotiables, the importance of authenticity, and the challenges she faced in her career. Caroline also shares her experiences meeting influential figures like Oprah and Michelle Obama, and she emphasizes the significance of mental health and the power of embracing one's uniqueness to create impact. Although these stories are derived directly from her personal experiences, they are also very relatable. Whether you're navigating change, seeking more meaning in your work, or simply curious about the moments that shape us, Caroline's stories will leave you inspired to reflect on your own encounters. Hi, Caroline. Welcome to the podcast. I guess bonjour is what I should say, but that's as much French that I think I can manage. But thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Amy. And first of all, I just want to advise your listener that my English is not my first language. So I hope they will be very kind with me if I do some mistake with my language.
Of course we will, because your second language is better than probably most of our second languages. So I appreciate you doing this in English, because I know that it's your second language, and I find that very admirable overall, actually.
Oh, thank you.
So, I mean, honestly, your career and life journey is a fascinating one. You've been a corporate executive at Campbell's. You've had success owning and running restaurants. Today, you're an international painter under the pseudonym Arrow, a professional speaker, coach, podcast host, and now an author. So there's so many things we can talk about. But your book, The Sum of My Encounters, it has been available in French for a while, but it was recently released in English. So why don't we start there? One of the core themes of the book is the title, The Sum of My Encounters. So can you talk a little bit about why that is a core theme of your book, and also a core sort of theme of your overall life philosophy?
Thank you for the question. It's a good one, because actually I just think that we are the sum of our encounters. All the people across our life will change who we are. We will learn from them, some positive thoughts, some more negative one as well. So all the encounters we have can change our life on the positive and negative side as well. So for me, it's just a question that I was really well surrounding, but also very difficult one as well in my family. So the challenge with both of this challenged me through my life. So it's the reason why The Sum of My Encounters was the title I have in hand since long time. And I just stopped in 2024 to wrote the book. So I'm so happy it's in the world now for people.
Well, and the stories are very relatable, which I think is always really fantastic when you're reading a book. And so how was that process like? Like, you wrote it in French and then you released it in French. And then the translation process, was that difficult or was it fairly straightforward?
I hired her team to translate the book for me. I reread it again to make sure that the translation is correct. But writing it, for me, the writing process was something very unique, because I went to my cottage for a month and I just alone with my dog, And I sit and I take all, I took all the notes I wrote in probably the last 10 years. And I just start putting it in one files and brainstorming about what's the meaning of each text, because the book, the way I construct it, it's very interesting because it's 10 chapters, but 10 very powerful verbs. So it's a kind of storytelling book. It's all my stories. It's my life. But I think I share with the lector, the reader, in a way of learning something, because it's not just about me. And I discovered that all our quests in our life are so personal, but it becomes universal, because we always want, I think we all want to be happy, love, being able to do things that create impact. So I think it's a something very universal desire.
They were universal themes, but very personal stories, which is sometimes hard to do. So, I mean, it was very generous of you, I think, to share your life learnings for everybody else. One of the things I found interesting is that you acknowledge that your non-negotiables have changed over the years, which I found very interesting. So what are your non-negotiables now, and how do you think they'll evolve over the next 10 years?
Oh my God. I discovered, and it was a shock for me, but because in my mind, non-negotiable values for me is like, I am that and I won't change, but we evaluate, we grow as a human being, and we discover new things. We let go things that doesn't relate anymore. So it's the reason why I discovered that my goals, my values change through the world. The values of respect for love, the family doesn't change, but all the importance I pass through my past life in businesses, working very hard for my reputation, my success, the result. Now it's something that is not in the first row of my desire. Now I'm more focused on wellness, happiness, sharing moments with my loved one. And so my mindset changed through the years, passing from an entrepreneur in restoration business and being an artist, connect more with my emotion, share things, and create impact differently. And so the presence is more important now. The way I create impact, the way I make others feel surrounding me, it's more important now than in the past, who I have goals and I just want to reach them. So it changed throughout. I really love learning. I pass more time now to continue to learn, because when you discover you don't know anything, you're just starting to want to learn more. So I'm still learning and surrounded by people that bring me joy and make me a better person.
Oh, well, that's so lovely to hear. And I'm a lifelong learner too. I'm always curious. And I think that's important to kind of keep with you as you go. But I found it so interesting, because who told us that our values at 20 are going to stay? Why did we ever get that idea in our head? It made me wonder when I read that story.
Exactly. And I don't know the word in English, but lâcher prise, when you let go, letting go. I just learned that one certitude, one thing is for sure in the life, is nothing is permanent. Mm-hmm. And you have to manage changing and changes in your life. So the way you look at it and the way you are more flexible about changing and some challenge and good times and the balance of everything, I work more in harmony now than in the quest of equity or equality. I'm more in that kind of meaning.
Yes. I mean, it's a great place to be. And then you can be more open-minded. And I think that takes a long time to get there sometimes, though.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm still walking the road.
We're not there yet. There's no end, I don't think, right?
Exactly. Good.
Do you have a favorite story? I mean, they're all your stories, but do you have a particularly favorite story that you wrote about?
I wrote about my encounters with Oprah and Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm. I saw you met some fantastic people.
Oh, two different stories. For Oprah, it was my biggest dream in my life, the craziest one. And she don't know me. She didn't call me, oh, hi, Caroline, I know you. I want to meet you. It's not that kind of things. I pay for, I have a private meeting with her in a meet and greet when she passed to Montreal for a launch of one of her book. And it was an amazing moment because it was supposed to be like a 3-second pictures. And it became a 3-minute exchange with her because at the same moment, the same day, my mother was at the end of her life at the palliative healthcare in Quebec City. And it was the day this event of the meet and greet was scheduled. And I have to leave my mom with surrounding with all the family and people and say, maybe I will miss the last second of her life to live my biggest dream. So you have the, if you like, the contradiction about the high level, high energy situation and my God, the sadness of losing your mother. So taking this decision to quit going to live this and come back and see when I will come back, what if she was still alive or not. But when I arrive in front of Oprah, I fall apart. I start crying and she look at me and she say, are you okay? And I just share with her my story. And she took time and it was awesome. And the pictures I have, there's both pictures.
I see them. Yes, I see them on the wall.
One with Oprah and one with Michelle. So with Oprah, it's the story, but in the book, I explained all the details and everything. And with Michelle Obama, she was in Quebec City in Saint-Vidéotron for her tour of launching the book Becoming, the first book she launched. It was a very big success worldwide. And she came to Quebec City. It's an event that was organized by the Chamber of Commerce here in Quebec. And they called me to say, we want to offer a gift to Michelle Obama from the city of Quebec. And we select you. Are you available?
Are you available? Did you say, exactly. I'm going to think about that.
Exactly. So a week later, I paint all the week. I manage all the things, the finish, the varnish, the framing, the text. Because when I write, each painting of Arrow have their own story, their unique stories that I wrote in the back of the painting. So I create a unique story for her painting called Let It Be, inspired by the song of the Beatles. And so, and the day she gave his speech, I had the chance to meet her, a private meeting, and share my experience painting for her. And she was very curious, very attentive, very present. She have a presence that changed my life that day. And she look you in your eyes and you feel that you are only two friends, very smooth environment. And it was the opposite because you have the security guard, you have her assistant, the police officer. It was very noisy, and she took the time and being very focused with me and very curious, asking me a lot of questions about the painting. And I know that the painting is in her office in Chicago.
Wow! Congratulations. That must have been an interesting phone call that started that whole process.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And passing also all the, not the survey, but they asked me my
security. Yes.
Oh, yeah, my God. It was very impressive. And she can be associated to anybody that have any trouble in the past.
Mm-hmm. And then, so when it was sort of finalized and they asked you to create this piece, how did you get any direction or was it completely up to you? How did that work?
Completely up to me.
Wow.
So I was working at that moment in a collection called Pure. And the Pure collection is the one top of my collection worldwide. It's the one collection that I sold the most through the past. And in the future, I think it will be my masterclass main collection throughout my years as a painter. And so, and for me, the image I have of her, the perception I have, and the impact she created for me, the pure collection was the proper one to present to her.
And you had a week to do it?
A week to do
it. What was that like?
It was 36 by 36. So.
Oh, not small.
No, exactly. So it was funny. A very interesting experience. I will remember this for the rest of my life.
That is quite an experience. I mean, with Oprah meeting her, you know, not anybody can do that, but that was sort of accessible. This is, you know, you were chosen for the work you have done. And I think that's incredible. So congratulations.
It's a recognition for my country and my city as well. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I had a note to ask you about that. So I'm really glad that you brought it up because I wanted to hear those stories for sure.
Oh, good.
You talk a little bit in your book about each year you do a vision board and sort of to set your, I guess, the tone for the upcoming year. You wrote a little bit about how the word magnetism was a central part of your vision board last year. Why is that?
It's a very good question because magnetism.
Magnetism. Yes, that's a tough one. So good for you.
I realized through the process of the book and coaching people and being coached as well with my team and my mentor that I realized that all my life I fight to have what I have. So magnetism for me that last year was I do what I have to do. I will do the best I can. I will. Instead of looking for performance, I will do for excellence. But in the meantime, I will taking care of me. So magnetism, a life will bring to me what I should receive, what I should have, and more.
And when you make that sort of vision board with those words every year, and if it's April and you have a decision, do you refer back to that? And is it sort of your guiding principles for making decisions throughout the year?
I start the process beginning of December each year, thinking during one month, what will be my next goal for next year? So it can be a number of sales of some things, but also a trip I want to live, stuff I want to learn, a meeting I want to specific person if I don't know them, or I will really point very clearly what I want to live for the next 12 months. And it helped me to be more clear in my goals, in my mind. And when I have decision to take or opportunity that comes to me, I will look if it's in the line of this or better than this. And sometimes it will help me just to avoid distraction.
Does it make it easier to say no?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. And I have the perfect recipe to say no. If you want it, I will share
please.
It with you.
I do want that recipe. I think lots of people need that recipe.
Exactly. It's in three parts. The first time is say, I would like to say yes, even if it's true or not. Okay? Because you don't have to justify yourself. Okay? So I want to say, I would like to say yes, but I make a promise to myself to realize my biggest dream. Actually, I'm working hard on it and I have to take care of me throughout this process. So you don't say why, you don't justify, and you say at the end, I wish you all the best with your project, your request, finding the person you're looking for or anything else. So you are the cheerleader on the side of the field, say, I believe in you, go continue. But I don't say no to you, I say no to your request.
Wow, I'm going to steal that. I'm going to have to work on it though first, but that is great advice. I mean, what a great way to make the right decision for yourself and then make the other person feel better as well.
Exactly. And when I take decision, I always asking myself three questions. First is why I will do it. Because is it aligned with who I am? Do I feel it? Am I enthusiastic about the opportunity or the project or the request first? Do I will do it for the proper reason? So ego or my heart?
Interesting.
And what will be the win for me? Because I never sacrifice myself anymore.
That's impressive. That is a hard place to get to.
Yeah.
Good for you.
But I pass. I've been very far in my mind. And I had some mental issue in 2020 that brings me at the point I have to change things because I won't survive.
I think those are all lessons and advice we can learn from. So what's on your central, what's your central word of your vision board for 2025?
It's abundance.
Oh, and why?
Because since now I magnetism things to me, I want to do it in all kind of part in my life. So it can be love, it can be money, it can be friendship, it can be funny moment, it can be learning, everything. So I want life being very abundant to me.
I don't even know what to say. That's such a great follow-up to magnetism. You're right. And it's a good way to sort of keep the momentum going. So we've talked, you know, coach and author, and do you still have time to paint, and how do you make time to still paint?
I put the time in my agenda every week. Sometimes weeks I won't paint, but I plan normally painting time in my agenda. More before exposition coming, exhibition that I will present. So 6 months prior, a year prior any exhibition, I have to pass a lot of time in my studio. And I still painting, not at home. I have my studio and gallery at 15 minutes from home. Very nice place surrounding with forest, and it's in Stoneham, so in Quebec City. And I need to paint. It's helping me just to express things, because when I paint, I'm in my superpower level connection, and I just feel that sometimes something is bigger than me to be able to create each pieces I create. So I'm very connected when I paint, and I really love this moment being alone with myself.
And it probably helps you do all the other things better, I would think.
Exactly. But sometimes I will have to commend my creative spirit, because when you say that you will be in your studio Wednesday between 8 to 4.
Right. I was going to ask that, because that's what they say. Even writers say that you have to make time. But if you've made that time and you're not inspired, what happens?
But you have to put you in inspiration mode. So for me, it's just the process of breathing, the choice of music, having time connect in the present moment here and now, and say that anything can be in my mind can wait for tomorrow. I prepare myself before sleeping, the day before creative moment. I will just send in the universe, bring me all the creativity I need, give me inspiration. I will launch. I'm very connected about launching those that comes to me, but it's not perfect. Sometimes a bad day, or sometimes it doesn't come, but I will try, and I will rework the painting after, and at the final, each pieces is very touching my heart. So I never stop until I have the moment I see that the painting is done.
Well, that's great insight into your process and an artist process, because, you know, that's not always shared. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So let's go back a little bit, because you talked about breaking various glass ceilings throughout your career. How are those experiences different when you were at Campbell's Soup versus the restaurant business? And then if relevant as an artist as well.
When I was working for Campbell's Soup Company, I started working for Campbell at the age of 19.
I know, I read that.
But at that age, I was the first woman in the sales team in Canada and the younger. And when I when they proposed me a direction position in a leading position for the distribution part for the Quebec region, I was the younger and the only woman in this area as well. So working with a multinational company as Campbell, having the chance to travel in US, in Canada, having a sales meeting, managing all the distribution in Quebec City was a very high level of pressure, but incredible school for me to learn the branding, learning how to sales, reading, learning about the relationship, encounters with your customers and stuff like that. So it was a very nice school. And so it was the more glass ceiling experience for Campbell. When I enter in restaurant business, I bought the last restaurant my father owned for 30 years. And I invest a lot of time in a purchase regroupment of restaurants to make more powerful buying together, put all our needs together. And I was the only girl in the administration council. And so I invest a lot of time promoting the career of a woman as an owner of restaurant because it's a men world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So for the glass ceiling experience in business is more like that with the restaurant. But for the painting, the glass ceiling, I would say, is starting a career at the age of 42. They present yourself as the next Riopelle of modern art, and you look your cell phone to look who is Riopelle, because I didn't know. You have a lot of stone to walk to make your art seen and being recognized as a professional painter, because I didn't know anything at all 8 years ago. I really improvise, being very naive in the process. It probably helped me to pass through and never stop. But I think doing things at 42, doing this 180 degree lift in my life was a glass ceiling experience.
That's amazing that you started as an artist, quote unquote, later in life. I don't know if I would agree with that, but I'm sure that's how people viewed you. And I think sometimes when we're naive about something, we're far more successful because we don't think about it, right?
Yeah. And you are not aware of the normal path, mm-hmm. So you do your own. You have all the people in world of art doing the same thing the same way and say, this is the pattern to success. And I imagine myself as the Tarzan in the field with his big knife and doing his own road. So I always do things on my own, mixing my entrepreneurship side and my artistic side. And I think one served the other.
Well, that's fantastic. And congratulations for having success in such a short period of time. When you left Campbell's, did you leave it with more women at the top level? Were you able to do that?
Oh, yeah. It's not me doing it, but we hire a lot of women in the sales team in Quebec and elsewhere. So when I left in 2005, I would say that is parity, but I would say probably like 30-70.
Yeah, you left it better than you found it. And
exactly.
I'm sure your example had something to do with that. So, I mean, these are the stories we like to share because it's a lot of work to be the first one. And it's a lot of work to always walk in the room and be the only female. It's that's a toll as well.
Yeah.
So I just, all of the things you've talked about and all of the stories in your book, and you've imparted lots of wisdom on us, but I'd really love to know what your thoughts on, you know, what is your advice on how to be the best version of yourself? And then how can you create impact and the power of your encounters?
I would say your unicity, the way you are now, today, you are enough first. And after that, when you embrace who you are, with your light and shade and your personality and strongness and some stuff that you don't like about you. But when you just say, I'm unique, and this uniqueness is my superpower, when you invest in who you are, so you stop looking, compare yourself to others and trying to do things as others do, but do your own, listen your inner voice, just do spontaneous thing about what you think you should do, and embrace who you are, unique as you are. And I think it will be so much easy to create impact, because people would love to have contact with authentic person, vulnerable person, that you look the person, you say you can relate to her, say, oh, she passed through tough times herself, so maybe she will inspire me to continue because she can be an inspiration for me. So I would say just being yourself.
Well, that's good advice for everybody. And I do appreciate that in your book and in this conversation, and it seems like in everything you do share the entire journey, because you're not wrong when someone presents sort of just the good side and the perfect side, that's actually intimidating and not helpful. So when you know that someone else struggled to get to where they are and has been successful as you are, and that it is work, we all feel like, well, it's work for me too. So maybe I'm on the right path then.
Exactly. And you always are on the right path, because if you don't, it's not working as you think you are, it's because you have something to learn to go where you want to go. So, and I passed tough time in 2020, and I'm very open to talk about it, because I start my book with this story and I finish with it with another very strong story as well. But I attempt to my life two times to between 2019 and 2020, because at that time I was so mixed in my mind about my career in art and my business in restaurant first. We had big issue in our restaurant business with team member that stole us for a big amount. And at that same time, my mother passed away, and I took care of her for 21 years because she's suffering from multiple sclerosis. So it was very hard to lose her, but a relief for her and the family because she was suffering so much. But 2 months after that, my husband, for the last 25 years, and we are still together, but he received the same diagnosis.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So for me, it was a big shock. So at that time, we took the decision to sold the restaurant, to live the best life we can at that moment in the situation that is able to walk and the disease doesn't reach him so hard that it changed our life yet. And it's still in good shape today. So we are very happy about it. But in 2019, when we received the diagnosis, we tried to sell the restaurant business, the family business, for the last 36 years. And we had a very nice transaction. It's the one we expect in February 2020. And the new owner enter in the restaurant, but we decide as a best way is to close the sales the day of the end of fiscal year of the company. So it was at the day they signed the document, 5 weeks prior the end of the fiscal year. And in the meantime, the COVID hit the world. So we lost the transaction on March 16. And a few weeks after that, it was so difficult to put on all our staff, I'm looking for the word in English, but on the chômage, on the system, the government system.
Unemployment is sort of, yeah.
Exactly, on unemployment. But during the 7 weeks they were waiting for the payment of the program, we have to help them. So every day I receive calls from employees asking for money, for food, to make sure that they can survive until the situation. So for me was like the eating point. And I discovered that my cortisol hormone in my brain was 10 times higher than normal human should be, because I was working like 100 hours a week, very high stress level and very a lot of difficulty. So I lost my mind completely, and I can't even relate of my lovely ones surrounding me, my daughter, my husband. I was completely disconnected. And I wake up in a psychiatric
ward.
Exactly. Hospital. So for me was, my God, I can't think I can be lower than that in my life. I hit the barrel, the end of the barrel. It was the worst period of my life. And after that, I'd say, okay, my God, how things like that happen 2 times? No, I will have to change something. So it was the starting of my reconstruction, I will say. So, and I changed a lot of things. I had to understand why I was low like that, and my fear and my knowledge, or the thing I thought at that time that it's supposed to be the normal life. And after that, I changed everything.
That's an incredible story. And I'm sorry you went through it. I'm very grateful that you came through it, and look at what you've done since. And there's lots of people that feel like that, and lots of people that have probably gone through similar situations. So I'm sure that you sharing that helps lots of people.
Yeah, exactly. Because I would say that, first of all, it's not an option. It's not a solution, because it's a permanent solution to a temporary situation. Mm-hmm. And I would say that the first thing you have to do if you're suffering, if you are not going well, raise your hand and say, I need help. Just share your thoughts to someone that you believe in, or your doctor, or anybody. And at that time, you will feel a little bit relieved that you are not alone anymore.
That's very good advice. Yes, I would agree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now I feel relief about it. I feel better. And I'm there to help.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, that those are difficult times. So, I mean, you're doing 100 things right now, but I'm going to ask anyway, what's next for you?
By my next biggest project is the launch of my second book.
Wow. Oh, congratulations. Sorry, it'll be launched when?
September 17.
Ooh.
In French, and maybe English probably a week or so later. The concept of my next book is called It's Never Too Late. And it's 100 stories to avoid regret in your life.
That's a great topic. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I have a lot of idea in my mind.
Yes.
But for the next year, I will launch a new program called Be the Artist of Your Life. So it will be a 6-month program with me, private session. And it will be like a small group accompaniment. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Small group. And I will share 360 degree of wellness, mindset, success, all through pass through tough times. And I will talk about marketing, trademark, and it will be very, very inspiring.
Well, we will put all of the links to everything in the show notes in case anybody wants to learn more. And thank you so much for taking the time to share all of your stories. It was very inspiring, and I'm really excited for lots of people to hear everything that you've been through in your entire journey, because it's a beautiful story. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. And the best is yet to come.
I agree.
For everybody.
Voices of Leadership is part of the Bespoke Productions Hub network of independent podcasters. If you are interested in partnering with us as a sponsor, or if you have a podcast of your own, please visit bespokeproductionshub.com for more information. This episode is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Amy Schluter.